Hi, everybody. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas, on Thursday, April the 18th. And welcome to our commentary. Well, I have a post over at the American Thinker today following up on this madness at NPR. And it seems like the more we hear from the lady who is, I guess, the general manager or the top director at NPR, you know, the more she confirms with her history, just a one-sided diversity, as I write in my American Thinker post, that diversity at NPR is a street going left. It's a one-way street going left. That's what diversity is. I think they're doing a tremendous harm to the network. You know, they're probably going to lose their public funding. They should. But the public funding, apparently, it's not that much of their budget, so it's not going to hurt them from being on the air. And, you know, people are still going to watch those Sunday nights British programs on PBS. They're very good. But I just think the credibility, especially of NPR, the radio network, is really gonna take a hit. And as I understand, they're already losing audiences for lots of reasons, not just because of their ideological tilt, but also because, frankly, a lot less people are listening to the radio now than they used to. This is just the reality of the times. People just don't listen to the radio like they used to. So, but no matter how you slice it, it's just a very bad deal for NPR to be tainted in this fashion and to be seen like this as simply a left-wing network without diversity and without the kind of programming that I used to like, as I've said many times on this video and as I wrote in my American Thinker post this week. You know, I used to like NPR. I used to listen to them for one reason, and that was because for a while there, back in the 1980s, early 1990s, that was the only FM station that was carrying any, you know, was carrying information, because we didn't have all the AM radios that we now have, talk radio, that is, that we now have, and all the other alternatives like the internet and podcasts and all of that. We didn't have that back then. So the only way you could hear a congressional hearing, for example, was to tune into NPR, and I heard my share of them, whether it was the Clarence Thomas hearings in 1991 or the Ali North hearings that you may recall. So all that stuff I used to pick up on the FM dial through NPR at my office or at home. And that's something that I valued. But here recently, you know, NPR has gone woke. And I think they've done their brand a tremendous disservice. So I think more and more Americans are just going to look at NPR and say, you know, this is CNN on the radio, and you know, they're hurting their brand. And once you hurt your brand in that fashion, it's very difficult, very, very difficult to come back. Well, I've got a post coming out Friday morning about the reality of Joe Biden. Forget the politics for a second. This is a man who is out there telling stories that are absolutely untrue. The story that the last story that he told was that he had an uncle in World War II who served in the military and who was shot down in the Pacific and eventually eaten by sharks. Well, the story is not true. His uncle was not shot down. He may have been in military service, but he was not shot down and, you know, eaten by sharks. It was some other way that he came down. I think there was a crash or whatever, but certainly it was not the way that Joe Biden had described it. Now, this is not the first time that he's used family in this fashion. You know, how many times have we heard about his son and his service in Iraq? Well, his son was in Iraq, but his son was not a soldier in Iraq. He didn't do fighting. He wasn't killed in Iraq. I mean, we commend his service and we salute his son's service, but he wasn't killed in Iraq. You know, he served in Iraq, and I guess later he had cancer, but he didn't get killed in Iraq. And so these are the kinds of things that, you know, that show me at least that this is not a man who should be president of the United States. This is a man who's, I think, reminding many of us of our grandmother, our grandfather, somebody in our family who started losing their memory and was just telling us things that they thought were true. In other words, I don't think Joe Biden is lying about his son dying in Iraq. I just don't think, I think he just made it up because he thinks it actually happened. I mean, his mind is gone. The same thing with what happened with his uncle. Now, the story about his uncle has another very bad angle to it, and that is that he got into this into his uncle's story because he was talking about families serving in the military, and he was talking about people who had lost their lives in military service. And he set up his story by relating that lie about President Trump when President Trump, somebody overheard President Trump say something about losers, American soldiers being losers who were killed in during World War II, who were buried in a French cemetery. And that story that came out in the Atlantic magazine was one of those one source stories where he said, you know, somebody told this guy who told this guy who told that guy. There was never one source who was willing to stand up and say, yes, I'm the one responsible for this. Again, it was nothing but a hit job on President Biden in October of 2020, a hit job in the middle of the campaign. So that's what set up the story about his family member being killed in the war. Now, the story about his uncle, my guess is that he probably believes it. He probably believes this. He probably makes up, you know, lives in this fantasy world where he believes these things. And he, they come to him and he just tells you because, you know, that's, you know, that's the state he's in. And it's very sad. It's very sad that this is happening to the president of the United States. So you have to wonder, you know, when are the Democrats going to look at this and say, you know what, this is not good for the country. Now, part of the problem, as I write in my article, is that the Democrats are not sure who would take over. You know, naturally, it would be the vice president, but they don't like Kamala Harris either. They don't think she's capable of running a campaign. And there really isn't anybody else at the moment. The governor of California is having a lot of problems out there, so I don't believe that he would be the most qualified or certainly the most electable person. And then you have a governor in Illinois who would not get anywhere. You have the governor of Michigan, you know, she's got potential perhaps, but not this time. So it's just a very bad situation. They don't actually have anybody to take over. And that's the situation they're in. But I mean, this is really sad to see the president of the United States, the man who is walking around with the nuclear code, behaving in this fashion. I mean, it's pretty scary. It's pretty scary when you see this. You know, it's absolutely amazing. Well, a couple of quick stories. The Senate basically dismissed the impeachment of Alejandro Mayorca, the secretary. And I tell you, I think it's a big mistake. They're just poisoning the atmosphere more and more for the next time, you know, the tables are going to turn and the Democrats are going to impeach somebody and the Republican Senate will probably dismiss the charges for much the same reason today that Senator Schumer said that it was all political. Well, look, everything is political that comes out of the House. I mean, come on. Wasn't the Trump impeachment political, especially the first one? So these are things that I think hurt the country. And there should have been a trial. If the Democrats wanted to make it quick, they could have made it quick. They could have defended the secretary. But of course, that's the problem. They don't want to defend the secretary. And they certainly do not want to have a conversation about what is happening on the border because they know how unpopular it is. So they don't want any kind of discussion on television or having Mayorca explain what is happening on the border or carrying out the policies of this administration that are so unpopular and have been, frankly, so bad for the country. So that, you know, the Democrats made a big mistake here. And, you know, the Democrats keep crossing these lines in order to, for purely political reasons. Now, whether it's this or those trials in New York, by the way, speaking of the trial in New York, I thought it was brilliant on the part of former President Trump to go out in the streets and go to those bodegas and talk to people in the streets and point out to the world that while they're going after him and they're spending millions of dollars going after him, crime is rampant in the streets of New York. And these bodegas who are being targeted by thieves and these people blocking streets and all of that, they, you know, the district attorney doesn't want to do anything about them. But my goodness, they do want to go after Trump. And that's a very bad deal. So I thought President Trump was brilliant, just a brilliant political move to get out there and show the world, you know, what crime is happening and talk to real people in the streets who are the victims of the crime, like the that incident in that bodega. Now, as I understand, the owner of the bodega is back in the Dominican Republic, but the location, of course, is still there. And some of the people who were there that day when the thief came in and the bodega owner defended himself, they were there. They're the ones who were meeting with President Trump. Well, on this day in 1942, we leave you with this little story. Back in 1942, on this day, the Doolittle Raid, that was the sort of the first attack against Japan, when several American planes out in the Pacific went into, I think, Japan or parts of China and bombed some Japanese installation. It was the Doolittle Raid. That's what it was. That's what it was called. It was more symbolic than anything else. Obviously, there would be a lot more fighting coming after that, but it was sort of a boost, a morale boost for the American nation that we could at least get up and fight back. So the Doolittle Raid, and I have a post in my blog if you want to hear the story of the Doolittle Raid, my interview that I had years ago with Barry Jacobson, who's a military historian. And I posted that over in my blog on my blog today. Have a great day, everybody. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, and we'll talk to you later. Bye-bye, everybody.